Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And time's just moving on. And I'm so happy to be doing the show with Randy today. Thank you, Randy.
Hey.
It's always a pleasure. And you and I end up being on different coasts all the time, right? Whether I'm in Hawaii or Maryland and you're in California or other places, so many other, it's always so much fun because we can actually see what's happening firsthand here. So today we're going to kind of get into questions, answers, and talking with Randy. Am I what?
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to ask, how's the weather in the East Coast where you are?
I'm supposed to be in Hawaii, and for different reasons I'm not right now, but we'll be soon. And yesterday and today was absolutely beautiful. But what happens, it was so cold. I don't think I've seen it this cold in a long time, although I'm rarely here for an entire winter, right? But it was so cold. It was so cold, Randy, that the other day when it hit like 40, we thought it was summer. And that's different for the East Coast. But, so, you know, that's what happens to you, right? It's kind of like, what do they call it? Like, what do they, you notice how we don't notice things? What's the thing like with a frog? You know, you know how you can put a frog in scalding hot water? It knows right away it's hot, it's going to get out. Well, hopefully it doesn't die, but I mean, you know what would die. But you know, hot, if you burn us, put yourself in a hot stove, you're going to feel the burning right away. But when you put a frog in tepid water, slowly heat it up, it doesn't notice. It still stays there and hangs around. Same with us humans, right?
Yeah.
You put us in these slow-moving situations, and we don't really notice the difference. That's like until, wow, it's 40 degrees.
Yeah.
It's like summer, right? It's like, but anyhow, that gets into, that can be used in many, many situations, right, in life. We don't pay attention to what's happening until later. So the weather's beautiful because being in Hawaii for so many years and in the warm weather, I appreciate the change. I appreciate the different weather temperatures, but it's been a little too cold for me this year, but I'm not complaining. I'm just, so what about you? You are literally, you're in Chico, which is so, from a real estate perspective and people and lives, and you are like top news right now. Tell us what's happening over there and why.
Well, Paradise, Chico Paradise. Chico is a town of about 100,000. Paradise, you go up the hill, about 10 miles, 7-8 miles actually, in a little town called Paradise up in the foothills, and beautiful little town, retirement community, and it was, as many know, it was devastated by the campfire where literally the town was burned to the ground, the whole town. I mean, so 40,000 people displaced, actually 50,000 displaced, in the ones who didn't lose their lives. It was the most deadly wildfire in California history. I think 90-plus people were lost. Most of them retirees who couldn't get out, you know, were just in their homes or trailers. And so that was the heartbreaking deal. We have been living with my brother-in-law, who's a highway patrolman here in California, and he was able to save his house, one of the few who did, and it's because he had a retired firefighter living next door to him, and this guy had drums of this flame-retardant foam. Basically, you hook a hose up to it, and you spray it on your house, and the fire doesn't touch it. And I wish more people had known about that, but anyway.
Yeah.
So, Paradise is trying to rebuild, but it's you know, because they're waiting on FEMA money, literally we're now, what, 4 months since the fire, and it
has
looks
it been
like
that
nothing
long already?
Has been, yeah, nothing's
wow.
happened. In other words, you drive by and it's just lot after lot of ashes with a chimney sticking up
oh.
out of the debris and burned out cars that are just left where they burn. And so it's pretty sad place to be, but we're grateful we've been able to stay with her brother there because we've been waiting to get back in our house in Chico.
Chico, though, was always, from what I remember, because I've known you a long time, since, what, about 2002? From Chico,
yeah.
what I remembered was one of those towns where you could still be in California, but it was reasonable and quaint and adorable and et cetera, right? And now
yeah.
it still
yeah.
is. But just this gives us an example, and some of the things we'll be talking about today, just because
yeah.
of supply and demand and this disaster
right.
that's happened with the fires, some of the prices
yeah.
in Chico have gone from, I mean, what, up 100,000 in the 4 months? I mean, I haven't
yeah.
confirmed
well,
all of this. These are things I'm hearing. So, but isn't
yeah.
that?
No, I've heard the range. You know, people, somebody told me, they said, oh man, you know, houses have doubled. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds a little extreme. And then I get there and I look around and I look in the paper and I talk to realtor friends, and there are no houses on the market to buy. And there are no rentals to rent. So, I mean, zero.
Unbelievable.
And there are still literally probably of the 50,000 that got displaced, I think they're saying about 30% of them are already gone, mostly retirees who got their insurance payout and said, you know what, I'm too old to rebuild in Paradise. We're just going to move somewhere else and buy a house. And so about 30% of them have left the area. But you've still got 20,000 folks, maybe 30,000 folks in Chico, and I mean, they're living in hotels. You know, they're being
aww.
Paid with their insurance money, so they're living in hotels. They're wandering the streets, some of them. I mean, there are people, families who are homeless and are living in cars. It's still
horrible.
A pretty sad thing. But again, like you said, supply and demand, what I know to be true is, I know for a fact that several people I've talked to got $100,000 over asking price for their house.
Unbelievable.
And that's pretty typical because of the supply and demand. You know, people are
and
wanting
average,
to get a
house.
And
the average house was, what was the average house, like 300, 400, like the medium price range in that area? Was it like around?
Yeah, I would say about 300,000.
Okay. So 100,000 when the average median price in 100,000 is huge, you know. And again, I haven't confirmed it cuz we're talking and going around about different things. So, but yeah, that's a big chunk in 4 months.
Yeah.
And you know, when people are looking to buy, you know, it's really good to look and see what areas are less and that you may have that have the opportunity to grow, like Detroit. They're saying Detroit might be the next Silicon Valley. Can you imagine? Detroit, Michigan, you know, with the automobile industry, but those prices went down. I mean, people could buy for next to nothing, and they're saying that that's an area that's being taken up and looked at quite readily. So it's amazing how they used to say there's
being refurbished, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how they used to have that saying, there's gold in them, their hills. Remember the gold rushes? and you know, when there's always something somewhere that's going to be still workable. You know, when people think they can't buy, they still can buy and do different things. So,
well, and, you know,
God bless everybody there. I just have so much empathy because life, you know, it goes on and we all go through different situations at different times. And, Yeah,
it's been really, it's been tragic, but Paradise is rebuilding.
Amazing.
I'm going to actually, I'm going to start doing a, in my spare time, I'm going to help the Paradise business community by doing a podcast that we're going to be kind of going around and interviewing businesses about how they're rebuilding and that they're open for business and kind of lend, you know, sort of, I don't know what I can do, which is the radio side of stuff. And interview businesses and get a website going where they can, you know, people can just hear the stories of people who are committed to rebuilding. And there are people now who are opening up. I mean, businesses again, you're seeing more and more businesses open up. So, it's happening.
That's
but
so
it's
great about our
slow.
Human spirit, right? To keep on going, keep on going,
yeah.
keep rebuilding, don't quit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, it really shows us how material stuff, I mean, we need to make money. Money's good. People shouldn't fear money, but at all, because we need it. We need it in our earth to be able to even serve and give back, right?
Right.
That
does, energy,
not,
right?
All the money in the world can't buy you your body, your health.
Yeah.
Ties some health, but too extreme. But you know what I mean. It's really so important. Wow.
Yeah.
So, I figure we got to start making doing stuff to just laugh all the time, right? You were in comedy too. You're so you're so awesome in radio. Almost 30 years, I think it is, right? At least something like that.
Oh, 40
and you were
plus.
In comedy before too. What is that?
Yeah.
We talk about people, we need to laugh. We need to laugh more. And some people just automatically laugh all the time. Some people laugh out of nervousness.
Yeah.
Some people are really laughing out of joy. And it's really heartfelt and good for us to every day have such a good laugh. I mean, there was I think it was, not Norman Cousins. One person had a bad illness and years ago, in the 20s, 30s, and the doctor said, just go home and, you're not going to make it. And he said, I don't believe this, and went into a hotel near the hospital and asked his friends to get him everything, thing they could get to make him laugh. Maybe this was 30s or 40s. But it was, when they had the reels, they didn't have our movies like we do now. And he just kept watching and watching and watching funny things every day. And he got healed. Because our body has.
And it was healed.
So you being in comedy for all those years, right? What is it with the comedy that? Because I think that's so important to have a good sense of humor, to try to take things lightly. But sometimes things get heavy. So what is it about the laughter, and how do we in comedy, or just can people just kind of instill this in their day every day if they're not naturally just constantly laughing for?
Yeah, I think reason. You know what I think you hit it on the head, and I do this. I do it probably. Two or three times a week, man, I will take a little time out. I will take a comedy break, and I'll jump on YouTube, and I'll just kind of find some of my favorite comedians, and I'll watch a couple of bits.
Oh,
laugh,
I never
know?
Thought about
and,
that. YouTube is the perfect place to do that, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You can – I was doing it – like I work a lot remotely with doing radio stuff for networks, and so a lot of times I'm at a Starbucks. Just editing audio, which is, can be kind of boring after a while.
Right.
So I'll take a little bit of a break and just with my headphones on, I'll just sit there. And this happened the other day. I jumped on YouTube and started watching some Brian Regan. He's one of my favorite comedians, real clean, super funny. And,
Brian Regan?
And I'm laughing out loud. Yeah, Brian Regan, R-E-G-A-N, I think.
Okay.
And he's just clean and funny he was doing this bit about he goes, remember that morning you woke up and you had that school project and you woke up and went, oh no, it's due today. I had 9 months to work on it. I've done nothing. And now I got to come up with something now, He goes, I just bring a cup and put some dirt in it and hope she just sees that I'm an idiot and walks by and gives me an F, And he just does this self-deprecating humor that's hilarious.
That
but I was
funny.
Laughing out loud in Starbucks. people are looking at you, but it's contagious because when people, people don't see enough other people laughing anymore other than maybe in a comedy club. But when you're in public and you're laughing at something, there's something about that. When we see that, it's like also with that random acts of kindness thing. When we see that, I think somebody said that it's dopamine. It's a chemical release in our brain.
It is.
That makes us
it
feel
is.
Good.
And your body,
when we
your body doesn't know the difference between fight or flight. That's why when somebody's stressed out all the time and anxiety and depression and all, it makes you sick. It makes you physically sick because your body's going, oh, it's. But when you laugh, it does. And it's really, it's so good for us. But I think with our world today, and I don't know about you, maybe I'm feeling, there's different things happening that are pretty heavy. But I deal with people in so many different areas and places that and you do too. And our news and the social media and everything just gets to be bombarding people that I'm not seeing the same laughter, but maybe that's just because my eyes are seeing it. That's why I would like to get back into that. They talk about like that belly laugh. You can even force yourself to laugh. Just start doing it just for 30 seconds to a minute, and before you know it, you're like really giggling, right? And it's good for us, just like meditating and praying and getting that balance because hey, there's a lot going on back there. You know, God knew what he was doing when he put us out there to in the ground to do things. You know, it's soothing to be out in the nature. On earth, I mean. So how does this all tie into real estate? Well, we always tie. It always ties in, right? Because you have
always,
to live somewhere.
Well,
and
so,
I love what you're doing with what you're talking about doing with the radio, with the shows, with the people, because when people hear other inspirational stories, you know, they go, wait a minute, I can get up, I can do it, because so many people want to quit when they go through tragedies, right? And say, how am I going to do this? And when they hear the stories and see it can be done, and, or they say, if you could do it, I could do it, you know? And that's what kind of, I like doing that, like with me, you know, I have blonde, natural blonde hair, right? I mean, so I can use the dumb blonde jokes and get away with it, and I can actually act like a dumb blonde and get away with it, you know? But lots of times I like to keep things organic, like even with the radio. You know, somebody listen to this, go, oh, my gosh, this needs to be way more da-da-da-da, and I'm like, and monetize it and do sponsors and all these things. And we'll do it with another show. But I love the organic part of it because I think it does help people. Either someone's going to say, oh, my God, that's just terrible, or they're going to say, like with our trainings and mentoring in real estate, I'm an expert. I really am. I mean, not in the sense of thousands and thousands of deals and transactions and personalities and a lot that comes up. It makes you – it's when you've got 120,000 plus hours, you know, they say it takes 10,000 to be an expert. We really are, and that's where you see people get PhDs in, you know, one subject or whatever and become an expert. I feel that, to me, it's about the people, and then I think the more organic and the more real and stepping over our feet, and it makes somebody know, hey, if she can do it, I can do it too, right? If you can do it, I can do it. Now, some people that are going to be way too critical on everything may have a different frame of mind going, this is ridiculous, right? But I don't really ever – I'm not worried about people that are already in that place. I'm more concerned, not worried, but I feel like my calling is to help the ones that – are saying, come on, pull me out of this pit. Help me, motivate me. Show me how I can do this. And that's just like with real estate. You have a lot of different questions. I know you do from people and et cetera on this, but one of the things you put in there in the beginning was about is it good to buy? Am I ready to buy a house? Well, you can buy at any time. You don't have to have perfect credit to buy. You don't have to have a ton of money to buy. You have to have – I'm not saying that by the standard way. Yes, you do need all that to do it. I'm talking about having the desire and things come up. You might find somebody who's willing to do an owner financing for you or assumable or, you know, so these are just kind of things that our passion, you know, Randy, how you're so passionate about serving is that when we really find our passion and we do it, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to fit into a box exactly the way it is. It could come from our heart. So that's what I like about all this.
That is the beautiful thing about it, and I can just tell, and that's why I was looking forward. I'm looking forward to today because I can tell your energy level when you're talking about real estate. You know, there's just you know, after all these years, if you will, you know, you've been how many years have you been in real estate?
30,
now?
Like over 33. Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's been about people,
and so,
right?
You're still excited, and it's reflected in your voice. And you're right about that. That's one of the questions. See, what happens is, you know, people, and we should do this probably more often, maybe even once a month, the Ask Natalie kind of show, because, you know, we get these questions, and I know your team is really good at obviously responding to people who email or connect to the website. By the way, again, the website, realtyuniversal.com, to connect with Natalie and her team if you have questions. But so what I did is just took a bunch of questions that, you know, that have been collected, and some of them are pretty basic, but and then others are a little more kind of intricate and probably take much more time to explain than we have time for. But I'll just take a couple off the top that have to do with buying, because, you know, obviously there's the two sides, the buyers and the sellers, and buyers have questions and sellers have questions, and we'll kind of try and break it up a little bit. But, you know, one of the questions that I collected, we'll start with two, I guess, that have to do with the buying side. And one is, What are closing costs? People hear about closing costs all the time. Can they vary, I guess, is the question. I mean,
yeah,
certain things?
So we're talking about the United States. Of course, you have real estate being bought and sold all over the world, so every place varies in what they do and how they do it. But typically, you have a ways and a means of checking out the title, even though there are countries where you still are risky and you're not getting the title checked. But there's a means of you want to make sure when they're buying or purchasing that this has a clean title. And lenders are going to have fees. State and county, your state and county are going to have transfer tax fees. So, you know, we all wonder how we have this infrastructure in the country. You know, I'm answering basically as far as the United States, but you can tie it into anywhere. That's a good thing about real estate. When you know what to ask or what to look over, and you always have to check with the experts, then you can kind of get this information. But the transfer tax varies state to state. You also have doc stamps, documentary stamps. The title company or escrow company needs to research and make sure that there's no clouds on the title, there aren't liens on the title, that you're going to be protected, because you don't want to buy something and then find out somebody else owned part of it. And that's why I always recommend that buyers take out owner's title insurance. The lender's going to want lender's title insurance to protect them, but I recommend that you take out owner's titles. And many buyers will say, I don't want that. That's just another fee. That's a fee that's well worth you putting in, because if something comes up later, you know, a few years later, and someone says, my grandfather owned this house years ago, and this woman forged my grandmother's name, and this is not a clear deed. And, oh, my gosh, that could be hours and hours and hours and hours. And if you have your insurance policy, you just say, here, call it, you know, insurance company. You know, there's always going to be somebody that says, oh, it doesn't – yeah, I would always do it. So these fees, they do vary. I have to say, because I can give you an example of Maryland and Hawaii has really low closing costs. Hawaii has high prices. Maryland is one of the highest in the country for closing costs. Say a typical buyer is going to buy say a $300,000 property, the buyer is going to spend $10,000 to $15,000 in closing costs in Maryland, and in Hawaii on a $300,000 property, the buyer might only spend $5,000. So, but the prices are different. So I'm just giving you those. Your question is very good. But those are closing costs. There's also the lender has closing costs. There'll be points that they charge you for the loan, doc prep fees, appraisal, inspection fees, et cetera, et cetera. So just there is – you definitely need money for closing. Good thing is, you know, if you're buying a several million-dollar property, that's a different type of loan altogether. But if you're buying, say, something $500,000 and below, depending on where you are in the country, because everything – so when I'm answering these, it gives you the questions to ask, because it's going to be very similar. But, for example, St. Croix – we were checking on a few weeks ago, and in St. Croix, they don't have escrow and title companies, but the lawyers do the checks. So for the United States here, but these questions are very good, because you're going, I want to have clear title, I want to have this, I want to have that. And of course, you check with your lawyer and accountant, and a good broker is always worth their weight in gold. But so the questions to ask, so you have these costs, but for example, with some loans, you can roll some of the cost in. The sellers can pay a certain percentage. So if you're putting 20% down, the sellers might be able to pay 6 to 9%. But all these different – since we had the loan crisis in 2008 and 2009, all these different things have changed and varies, and rules as far as caps. Larger caps than what we used to have. And then if you're a first-time home buyer, and then even not just a first-time home buyer, there's different loans where you might be able to get 100% financing. So, yeah, closing costs are a whole list of things, but the good thing is you get that, you know what they are up front. It's not going to be something to surprise you later. And there are ways to tie it in to where you don't have to come up with it all out of your pocket. There's certain amounts you do need to come up with down payments out of your own pocket. So... but you can still buy a house. I mean, there's so many ways to do this. Yeah. Someone goes, it's daunting, you know.
Like the closing costs, for the most part, what I'm hearing you maybe saying is it's related pretty much to fees for paperwork and checking on titles and things, for the most part, those kinds of things.
Well, you mean for the most part, yeah. Well, everybody needs to get paid, right? So you know, the escrow title company, the loan companies, everybody needs to get paid. So somebody has a piece in it. But when we look at our infrastructure around the country, how do we pay for the roads and the schools and the water and the sewer and the bus, you know, so many things. Not just buses. Depends on what's part of the country, government, and what's private. You get that through real estate development a lot. You get it through businesses. Depends on where you are and how it's structured, but it has to come from somewhere, right? So one of the ways that it comes in is through the transfer of real estate property. So the state and county transfer tax, for example, does not go to the title escrow company, does not go to the lender. It goes to the state that you live in and the county you live in. Some areas have them, some are higher, lower, you know. So, yeah, but it's easy to find out what they are. Like, for example, in Hawaii, 1% is a good guesstimate. In Maryland, it's 2 to 3%. It's like more, 2 to 3%. So many ways to structure deals, though.
So that's we're going to stay on the by the way, again, you're listening to Realty Universal Radio, Natalie Mullenix, and it's Ask Natalie today because we just we get a lot of great questions, and again, we go through week after week, and sometimes just obviously Natalie and her team answer questions as you connect with them on the website, realtyuniversal.com. We thought, you know what, there's some good questions here, and as I looked at them, I mean, I don't know some of these, and so I'm like, huh. So I figured,
out a lot of the ones that are repetitive, right? Some of the standard that people ask constantly.
Yeah,
you know, they're pretty general, like, and then you have different.
Yeah. So here's one on, again, we're staying on the buyer's side right now, and it's kind of related maybe in a way to the closing costs, but could you kind of explain the most typical, I guess they're saying, loans that are available. Like, what's the best type of loan was the question, but I'm interpreting the question of maybe more like, could you maybe describe the different types of loans?
Well, that's a great question, and the best loan available is the one that's going to save you the most money and cost you the least amount of money in the long run, right? But with a caveat, just because you have to really research it, because there could be back-end fees that now legally with all the Dodd-Frank and the crisis and TRID and all these things, TRID disclosures, you know, they're not going to be able to have the back-end fees that were there in the past. But you still need to get the fees, and if you're shopping around with two or three lenders, get the good faith estimate and compare apples to apples, because there's still some fees that could be called one thing that are another thing, even, you know, generally. So it really depends, because if somebody's, you know, doing past jumbo loans, they're doing, you know, a couple million-dollar property, they may go ahead and get an asset loan and deal with their assets and be able to get a much lower rate and negotiate some really creative financing that actually gives them a more ways to leverage their money without having to get a really good deal. So you want to really check that out and talk to a financial advisor too, because a financial advisor would be able to advise you too, as well as that if you're going on a higher end scale using your money. A lot of people don't realize you can actually pull monies out of 401ks. There's a Roth IRAs. If you have Roth IRAs, you can actually pull money out of there and buy a house and use that for a deposit down payment. There's different ways. You have to put it back in there if you're under, 59 and a half. But there's different. We never have enough time to go into full details in 1 hour, right? But there's a lot of different ways to use your monies that you maybe aren't thinking about using. So different loans. We've got, if you're a veteran, definitely take advantage of your VA eligibility. That's you need to get your DD-214s and definitely take care of it, because you can do 100% finance and you can have the seller pay the closing costs. When you sell the house, it'll transfer back to another house. If you don't sell the house and you keep it and rent it, and then you want to buy another one, you can't get that back. You get that back one time each time for each property. There's FHA loans. There's conventional loans. There's different types of loans. Conventional, typically, you need about 5% down, there's different companies that'll do the 80-10-10s now, because so many things changed. But with a conventional loan, if you have 20% down, you don't have to pay your mortgage insurance. with an FHA loan, you have to pay mortgage insurance even if you put 50% down. So if I was to talk to you and you were debating between an FHA and a conventional, I would look at your numbers. Of course, we have loan officers and lenders talk to you, but I would look at your numbers and say, you know, you have enough to put down. These are the rates. I would go conventional instead of FHA because of the mortgage insurance that you're going to have to refinance to get out of. And in the long run, this is going to cost you more money. But with the caveat, you want to run an amortization schedule so you can see how much it really does cost you. And I call it cheating the banks. Like people say, well, go get a 15-year loan. Don't get a 30 because you're going to pay the house off early. You're going to save a lot of money in interest. But you could take a 30, and if you discipline yourself and pay extra towards the principal, you can do it that way as well. So you want to look at your big plan. But conventional FHA, for first-time buyers, they have like CDAs, all kinds of loans. There's USDA for rural areas, but USDA, you can go to usda.org. And find out if your area is in a USDA area. There's many areas that, like, for example, Hampstead, Maryland, which has a fair amount of people, can qualify for USDA. Mililani in Hawaii, I'm not sure if it's still on the list. It was on the list, like, in the last 2 years. The Big Island in Hilo and areas qualify for USDA. So even though an area may seem populated to you, it's worth it to check it out because with USDA, you can actually finance all your closing costs in the loan. You can ask the seller to pay for closing costs. You can get 100% financing. So there's so many different loans and ways to go that I think you really need an expert to help you, and you need to check it out with more than one person as far as lenders because you know, the lenders are there to sell their loans, and there's many great lenders, but you still want to compare to see what you're getting. So there's just so much going on.
What's a good rate right now?
Right now, fours and fives, because the rates have gone up a little bit.
Okay.
They've,
fours and fives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
man,
sir.
I'll tell you what, I'm learning a ton. I love listening to you because this is just – it's like A&P and Minimart. It's too much good stuff, man. You just know so much. And I love that the bottom line is people need to consult, you know, with their financial advisor because individuals are different. Now, as you were talking about different kind of loans, the term Fannie Mae came to mind. What is a Fannie Mae?
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it's funny you bring that up because they're backed. You're backed by the government, and you're having people try to privatize them. The government they're talking about, and I hope that never happens because we need the protection of the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Ginnie Mae. So that's important. And you've got the government backed loans, and we don't want to get rid of those.
Okay. Well, that's.
But that's going to be. You can tell if your loan is a – you can actually call and find out if your loan is a Fannie Mae loan. They actually sponsor – well, it's pretty – God, it's been around a long time. I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to think if it's pretty big now. Hopefully that never goes away.
Yeah. Well, I know I've heard about that sometimes as an option, right, for people that – can't qualify for a conventional or a.
Well, you're going to find most of that. You're going to find most of the loans. They're going to be. You're going to find most of the loans are going to be Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae under the certain price range. Yeah, that's not going to be. They pretty much. But what they're talking about is privatizing and opening it up, and I don't think they should do that. I think that's really scared, because they back the Freddie Mac. They'll back the loans, right? So, for example, the mortgage company is giving out the loans. They know that they're protected because if the buyer goes into foreclosure or short sales, the lender's still going to be protected as well. So there's different.
Well, they, again, we are.
Freddie Mac. Go ahead. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're doing just for folks who are joining us real quick, I really, rather than take a break, this is so good. Only have now 25 minutes to go. Natalie is answering questions. It's Ask Natalie. And again, if you're not hearing your question, I'm thinking, if you're like me and you're listening to this show, you basically, as she's talking, there are other questions that come up. Like, you know, so if you have those questions, again, connect to Natalie
but you know
and her
what?
Team at Realty Universal.
I do want to mention with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, it is worth it. You know, we all vote, and we vote for the politicians. Everybody's going to have different opinions. I think it's great to have capitalization and privatize things. But when it comes to Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, they've done a fantastic job all these years. And I think that we have to be leery of letting them go away, because a lot of private investors are trying to buy more mortgage loans and then reselling them as bonds. And, you know, I don't know. I think it'll pull us out of where we need to be as far as protecting the consumer. And that's the biggest picture, is for us to protect the consumer, you know. Because I think what we've got – just trying to think. Most of the loans, they say probably up to 50% were in 2018 were Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac backed.
Okay.
So I don't agree with the government. I know President Obama started saying we needed to downsize that and get out of it. I just don't agree with it. When they say if something isn't broken, don't try to fix something not broken. And that's how I feel about that, because now they ran into problems because they had to, you know, assume the risk of the bad loans. They also protect people. But see what I'm saying, there's way more details. We're trying to simplify it, right? So there's way more involved than being able to just
And you can obviously RealtyUniversal.com, the website. Contact Natalie and her team there, absolutely, and get more questions and go into detail, and she or her team will be happy to help you. Let's if we can, because this all sort of relates here, since we're staying on the buyer side. When we talked about
we're not going to stay on the seller's too. Okay.
Well, we can hit that, but I want to ask, you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and we'll just touch on this, but. So somebody's looking into what type of loan, whether or not, you know, that they're financially ready. Essentially, they look at, kind of an income to debt ratio. Obviously, your credit will depend, you know, will kind of determine what, you know, what kind of loan you get. I mean, you can get expensive loans if you don't have such great credit, but the ideal thing is, like you say, 4 or 5% if you have good credit. And right, what's the income to debt ratio that they talk about that they want to see when you're buying a house? You hear that a lot.
Well, it used to be. I mean, now the lenders are going up as high as 45%. So they have they want to see how much you can afford, and then they take your debts and come up with a ratio. So, like a VA loans are around 41%. But to explain it in an easier term. It used to be that a 25% of what you made is what you could spend on a house, but now they go as high as up to 50% of what you make in a month you could spend on a house. So it's you qualify the loans and the numbers and go through that. The good thing though that I like to stress is that there's more than one way to buy a house, you know, so you don't necessarily have to go with just the traditional way. Now there's hard money loans, which in the old days, you would stay away from them at all costs because they were so high. But now some of the interest rates are lower, and some of the loans for investors are strung out. They could be 15-year loans. They might not just be a 2- and 5-year loan. So there's just so much information. Good thing is you can Google and say, what do I qualify for? You can go. There's a ton of mortgage companies and sites out there that will give you the numbers, and you can just Google and do your amortization table without having your credit report run. You know, we're so inundated with everything. You know, we really are.
Google. You can do the Google.
When someone tells you can't buy, don't believe that you can't buy. I mean, you have to be realistic in what type of loan and what you're going to do, but you want to start and decide where you want to be, what you want to do. Investing right now is still good to look at as well. You can also get into REITs, REITs. And not have to be a property owner. You can actually do that through stocks and buy into REITs where they actually manage the properties for you. It could be apartment buildings, commercial, residential. I mean, you can read up on the company and find out and see what that gets you to. So it's one of the big things I really like to stress is compound interest. I wish I learned about it years and years ago. You know, you see people being very frugal and putting this away and that away, and it really does pay off in the long run. So, you know, there's a lot of distress situations. People go to foreclosures. The thing about foreclosures, you have to make sure you have the money in place to buy it. You can't always look at the property. Some you can. They have HUD foreclosures. There's all types of judicial, non-judicial foreclosures. It just goes on and on and on, which it does pay to talk to a professional to see which is the best way to go. But, you know, the more money you have, the more you can leverage your money and use your asset lending. And you want to release yourself with liability. You always want to make sure, you know, if you're buying apartment buildings, you know, a lot of people stay away from the ones over 100 years old. If they're going to have residential renters, if you're having commercial, it's a different story. But, so I guess my mind, I think all over the, and depending on it, really makes a difference on what you're doing and what you're doing. But the standard rules of thumb are that you're going to, you have to, debt income ratio has to qualify. And so when you're going to buy, when you're thinking about buying, don't go out and buy a new car and have a big payment, because any of the payments, or don't run up your credit card debt, any of those payments are going to count against you when you're getting a mortgage. Also, really important not to do anything, like say you go and you're buying the house, and you go in and you meet with the loan officer and you apply for the loan and they get the appraisal and your loan's approved. Don't buy anything, because you typically will run your credit report a few days before you're closing or settling. And if you've spent, it could be $50 more a month might throw your ratios off. It could be something very small. So don't spend any more money. Wait until after you close. Just because your loan's approved doesn't mean I'm in. You know, they're going to check you again right before you close. So,
That's good. That's good info right there, because I think we're all increasingly tempted to live on the credit card side of life, you know, because, you know, of cash flow issues and, you know, and all that. So,
and we need to learn not to do that. That's the one thing with running businesses. I've spent so much running businesses, but if I knew what I know now, I would have not spent as much at times because, and invested more, even though you invest in your business as well. It's a good rule of thumb to not put all your eggs in one basket. Yet, at the same time, do what you know best, right? Because you know when you're, and that's where the advisors come in and the long-term planning, et cetera, make a big difference.
Wow. Well, let's.
But for me, I've been in so long ago.
Let's flip sides, and again, we're talking to Natalie Mullinex, and it's Ask Natalie today. A lot of your questions, and again, we are literally surfing the tops of the waves here. Today on a lot of these topics, but realtyuniversal.com, the website, and you can connect with Natalie and her team there. So, let's flip to the buyer's or seller's side and ask a few questions. And, you know, and this kind of helps us lean into the menu program, right? And because somebody's wanting to sell their house and there's so many ways to do it now, right? For sale by owner,
right?
Blah, 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 blah. And people think, like you said, hey, I'll just get on the internet, you know, watch a couple of TV shows, you know, go to a seminar, and I'm good. Well, there's a lot of pitfalls, right, in selling a house and a realtor, you know, and there's a difference, right, but even between a real estate agent and a realtor, right, somebody who's a realtor with the real and has the experience like you, and the issue is. I'm going to save the commission, right? I'm not going to pay the whatever that. I can do it myself and save the commission. And what would you say to somebody who's kind of waffling, like, I don't know if I should get a realtor, should I do it myself, or maybe there's a place in between?
You know, everything, it's all about education, right, and what we know and what we don't know. And so in the old days, you getting an agent was really crucial because you couldn't even get in the MLS, and I'm really dating myself. How long am I going to keep saying the old days? It's like, what did the 89-year-old say? In my time, I don't know. So we really have to go back into, when you look at everything now, it's education. So if you can, now you can get in the MLS for a fee, and if you have the time to do the work, you can get involved and do it. There's a lot of areas, though, that you need to be aware of, like what are your local ordinances, what are the county rules, city rules, what federal rules, what forms do you are required by your state, what form, you know, because you can get in trouble. You know, they always say ignorance is no, when you go, courts say that ignorance doesn't let you get out of the law, right? So I think it's just a matter of, one of the things I like about real estate menu programs is we have agents and brokers that are versed in their local jurisdictions, so they'll be able to tell you what you need or what you don't need, and then you have the option to get in and do it yourself. I still believe, though, when we there's many situations where you need somebody who's a pro. Now, a lot of people can get licensed very easily, so there's a tricky, it's a tricky question, because if you have a pro, then they're worth their weight in gold. If you have somebody that has no clue what they're doing and they don't know what to ask and they don't have anybody overseeing what they're doing, then I would be afraid to do that, right? So, but many people have sold their own homes. Lots of people like to try to get into programs where they're going to do it themselves, and then if it doesn't work, go let an agent take over. So, but the biggest thing is, it's just like a business. You've got a market, you've got your people, you've got to have the means to put buyers and customers together, right? So you have to have, there's one buyer for your home. There may be many buyers for your home. So there's a lot of factors involved. Are you in an area that is selling like hotcakes, so you don't really need, you know, somebody to do a lot more than make sure that you're covering the legal parts? Or are you in an area that it's a slow-moving market? So that's a loaded question. And it really depends on you, what you're comfortable with. Do you have time to get involved? Because believe me, to sell your own home takes a lot of time to get involved and get in everything right and then and make sure, because there's areas like negotiating, feedback. There's a lot of little, in Hawaii we call them pukas, little holes that can be missed. So, but I am not going to stand here in 2019 and say you can't sell your own home, because you can, and or your own property. We've had commercial people come in. I mean, I think certain things get risky, and it's not worth putting your money there, just like you want to pay a good attorney and a good accountant and everything. So it depends on what monies you have to spend. I was reading up on long-term health the other day, and because I think health insurance, because I think, you know, we're seeing people living longer, we're seeing a high dementia, Alzheimer's issues and other issues, and it's pretty scary when you think about it. And it's like, well, that insurance is good for covering a lot of these costs that may not be covered by Medicare or covered by other things. So I was reading up on this, and you know, there's a lot of laws that have changed to protect people, because many of those companies went out of business, and so now there's other ways to protect people. But they were saying, if you have $300,000 to $500,000, which doesn't sound like a lot of money in today's dollars, then you may not, you probably really need the long term, because you're going to deplete whatever you have. If you don't have it, then you may not need it as much, which it's kind of, and this is just what I was reading. I'm not giving my opinion on that. So I think that when I say that, it depends on how comfortable you are getting in and doing your own thing. But just because so many people are out in the industry and it's just a flooded market with these I want to say agents are worth their weight in gold, which I believe, but I believe trained agents are worth their weight in gold, you know? So,
I
believe in menu programs. You can try it. If you don't like it, you can move to another thing. Depends on you. It depends on your urgency. It depends on what you need to do. And, you know, how much equity it's going to cost you to sell your home, you know?
So, somebody may be listening and maybe hasn't listened to us and not aware of the menu programs. So, basically, what you're saying with the menu programs is that somebody, it's just not either or, it's both and. So it's, you're not just faced with a choice.
And it could be customized. You have everything from a flat fee MLS program that could cost you $300 to $500 plus your co-op fee, whatever you're paying the other side, 2.5% of the sales price, but it's not written in law that you have to, so you can do what you want. I'm always of the adage, like, let's make a win-win, let's let everybody work with us, and let's have everybody out there when we're fishing for a buyer. We want to make everybody happy, the buyers, the agents, you know, everybody, so I try to make it a win-win. Mm-hmm. But so it could be anywhere from $300 to $500 plus a co-op, all the way up to a 6% to 10% commission, depending on what you need. And then there's the middle of the road. So the programs are really geared to say, hey, Randy, what do you and Monica want to do? Where are you trying? Where do you want to be? What's your goals? Kind of like how a financial advisor would talk to you, but not, you know, quote unquote, we're not allowed to say we're, you know, attorney, accountant, et cetera. And saying, what do you think? How do you think? And you're like, well, you know, I have the time to do it. But do you have the time? When you're spending the time, is it going to take away from your business? Is it going to take away from your doing? And so it's just kind of customizing it for you. You know, there's a buyer rebate program where you can get up to 2% of the sales price credited back to you. Of course, there's restrictions with lenders as far as how high the amount can be, et cetera, based on sales price. But there's a program like that. But that means you're going to do it all and just have the broker write the contract and then follow through to make sure you're protected till closing. There's a buyer rebate program where maybe you need them to show you three homes and you know which one, you know the community you want to be in, and you can still get monies back from closing. So it's really set up to where is the broker and agent involved or are you involved? So whoever does more work gets the credit. Now, of course, we all have the tradition where a lot of people, look, they're not going to have time. Just go sell it. I'm paying the regular full commission, and I want you to handle everything. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful part of the programs, that we have it set up to where you have that covered and can be referred to somebody. You know, we have a call this afternoon that somebody's had their property on the market in Miami for 2 years, and a past client of mine called. It's his sister's property and needs help and said, we've had it with different brokers, that it was completely listed, and we need help. And I said, great. So we have a conference call, and the local broker will be on the call that we network with because we have our networks through Realty Universal and then several other networks, too, that we work with. And a local broker, also another broker I know that sells all over the world, literally, who's in the UK. And then we'll have the sellers, and we're going to go over and figure out what's going on. Why hasn't this sold in 2 years? Is it the price? Is it the marketing? Is it, what is it? You know? So these are the things we really care about. If it doesn't sell and it's not going to get where it needs to be, then what good are we doing everybody, right? So it really makes a difference in making sure that's done. Now, I have to say, in many, many years of offering the flat fee MLS, there's been a lot of sellers that have said, no, I can do it all. And then many it works for, some it doesn't, because they really aren't following through and trying to get involved in it. And we're looking at how can we restructure the Realty Universal trainings, too, in the business to help these sellers get it done. Because it doesn't do us any good, too, if they're going into the flat fee and it's not happening for them, right? So we're looking at how do we really make that work, because it's really customized, except many people that do know what they're doing and things will tell right away just need to get in that MLS, right, and get that syndicated to hundreds of sites. Yeah. Now, because of the way the Internet is, your property's everywhere. To me, sometimes it gets so flooded that it's like people are inundated with all these properties, and how do they, you know, weed through them? It was kind of simpler in the old days. But so that's a long question, but you can get on the site, get information, let us know where you are, what area you're located in, and we can have a local broker deal with you. If there's not a local broker where you are, which we're covered in many, many, you know, 50 states, then we can go out of the area. But we have certain requirements that we require of the agents and brokers. Now, if they're a member, they've already gone through certifications with us. So it's just a little bit – we care about you. It's not a, you know, but I'm a believer when someone says, I'm sorry, I'm not lowering my rate. You want me full service, you're going to pay, or the next person can do it. I have full respect for that, because there's a lot of work involved depending on what's going to be done.
Yeah.
So you can see, after all the years I've been in the business, it can seem boring, you know, but it doesn't seem boring because of the people and making things happen. But you can see, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more about, we get, like you and I, and you know what this show's all about. We bring in guests. We bring in people that are, going through life, living experiences, because we're more about what's going to make you all happy and what do you need, you know, besides just the selling or buying part of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much more. And, again, this – so that was kind of an overview of, again, the menu program and RealtyUniversal.com, the website. There's a lot more information there, just a ton of information. If you have questions, connect with Natalie and the team there at RealtyUniversal.com. And I love that you know, again, buyers and sellers, you do have choices. And I think a lot of times people think, well, that's either I'm on my own or I pay the full commission. But you're saying with the menu programs, man, it's customized. and a, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about it.
It's like you have a safety net. So if you want to start on the lowest level tier as far as cost-wise, right, but you get a lot of exposure in that level, and you are afraid, or you need a la carte, or you need guidance, or you need consulting, or you want to even switch up to the 1% or the full-service program, you can do that, and you will get a credit back on what you've spent a ridge up front when you close. So it's kind of like, want to test the water and you have the time to do it, you know. And many, it works for many, so I'm not knocking that program, the lower level tier. It's just we call it limited service because we're not involved doing everything. So it's pretty cool. But I think one thing they say is, what's really important, Randy, it's to take action. It's sitting on the sidelines is the worst thing you can do. People worry about making a right decision or a wrong decision, right? But what in between is worse? No decision. True? And so, you know, that's the thing. You kind of get in. And, of course, you want to protect yourself. But the fear factors, people say, oh, be afraid of this. I don't like that. I like to just go, you know, look at the, of course, limit your liability, look at the whole picture, and then rock and roll. Because this
rock
is
and roll.
Rehearsal.
I love that.
Rock and roll. We need to laugh more,
roll.
Though. It's been
this
kind of
this was so good. Man, I love listening to you talk real estate. It makes me fired up again to get licensed to go do it.
Randy, you should get licensed at both places, but your gift is the radio, but your gift is people and God, and the way you serve is just amazing.
Yeah.
You and Monica are amazing.
Well, I just love that you tie it all in. Like you say, real estate is great. Nice homes are great. But the home itself, the house itself, the structure isn't going to make you happy if the humans inside it are, not happy. And so it's there's a lot more to being happy than just buying a house,
day you're going to lay your head on the pillow and you're not going to wake up. And none of us want to think that's happening, and it could happen at any time, right? So we really should live on purpose and do what we feel right in doing. And that's why I'm not going to win a popularity contest, Randy. I won't, because, I speak my piece. But I don't I speak my piece, but I also believe everybody deserves to speak their piece, and we need to respect and honor that and not tell them it's one way or the highway. Does that make sense? So I kind of live my life and my passion. So I've lived my passion as I'm doing my life, although my dream was always to do acting since I was 5 years old. And, I'll probably get into it. I did some plays when I was in high school, but I probably will get into something in my older years, my golden years, God still has me moving along, which I hope I do. You never know. But it isn't like to go out there. It's different now. It's different because the goal is we're working on a really universal to be able to give back and help the starving kids and the wounded adults. So we have these missions that we do. And I want to talk to you about the wells that we talked about before, about where you can put $5,000 takes care of a well out in the third world countries. We were talking about that a while back. And I'd like to revisit that because I think that is a very important area that we can all help in with some other things we do. That's to me, that's we got to do it from our heart and not because someone's telling us we have to do it. So,
Good stuff.
Oh, my gosh, we're at the end already. Yeah. We didn't even take a break.
This flew by. I love it. This was so interesting.
But it's basic stuff. It's not like rocket science stuff. It's not like we got into formulas or anything that somebody wouldn't know. It's just a matter of do it. Get out there and do it. Start working on this. I don't mean do it and be careful. I mean, there's a lot of shysters out there too, so you have to be careful what you get into. I just don't let fear get in the way.
No, not at all. Well, again, Natalie Mullinex, Ask Natalie. It's been a fast hour, and if you have questions, realtyuniversal.com, connect with her and her team, and they'll answer your questions. But if the menu programs kind of piqued your interest, obviously there's tons of information there as well, and this is cool. So thanks, Natalie. It's been an awesome show.
Oh, I want to ask Randy one time too. We'll do a show with Ask Randy. And Monica.
Yeah, we should do that.
Ask Randy and Monica because you've got some great with the radio and the marriage ministry and like all of it. Yeah, absolutely. And it ties in with houses and living and business, and it just ties in with it all. So, all right, to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.